Today, Shir's in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Nun Aleph. We will begin on Daf Nun Amid Beis, three lines after it gets wide, with the words Tanu Rabbanan, Hamistaker Bekanim Uvik Kankanim. The Gemara continues to discuss occupations that a person should avoid. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamistaker Bekanim Uvik Kankanim. Kanim are thin pieces of wood that are made for fences. If a person makes his livelihood by using them, ubekankanim, or in jars, ein aroy a simen bracha loylam. So he will not see a simen bracha from this kind of occupation. My time, the Gemara asks, what's the reason? What's wrong with such an occupation? The Gemara answers, kim de nafish apachazayu sholta ba'ena. Rashi explains that apachazayu means the bulk. In other words, this is a person who's occupied in a profession where he has a large turnover of a bulk item. He doesn't make much profit on it, but he feels good that he's always selling. And the people have the concept that he's making a lot of money because he's selling such bulk items. But in fact, he's not. But since they are looking at him in this jealous way, so that's why Shalta Baena, the evil eye, is cast upon him, and he's not going to see a Simon Bracha from it. Similarly, we're going to have four other things in the next piece of Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Tagrei Simta, people, merchants who sell in the public places, in Simta's alley, a lane, and they spread out all their material, and again, people look at it, at everything that they're selling. Umegadli behemadaka, and people who raise thin animals, the small animals, the sheep and goats. Ukvikotsase ilonis tovas, and those who cut down good trees. And fourth, as Rashi explains, whenever something is divided up, they say, I always want to get the best portion. So in all of these four items, the person will never see blessings from this activity. My time, the Gemara asks. The answer is, the toba inchi, people are amazed at what they are doing. The Gemara, the Marsha explains that although we find that, for example, Megadli Behemadaka, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama Masechta Meruba that there's in fact an Isser to raise Behemadaka in Eretz Yisrael because they go and feed on property that is not theirs, and there's an Isser Gezel. And also, so the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama that somebody who knocks down a good tree, there's an inyan of Bal Tashchis involved. So besides the Ein Aroy Simen Bracha, there's actually, the Marsha says, Isurim involved. The Marsha explains that here the Gemara is telling us what the Oynish is. The punishment for doing these activities is that Ein Aroy Simen Bracha. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara continues. The Chachamim learned, Dalit Prutois Ein Bahen Simen Bracha Loilam. There are four coins. The Marsha explains that a Pruta is the a coin on which normally Bracha should be Chal. But these four activities, again, have problems with them. And therefore, on these Prutas, on these coins, on these business endeavors, one does not see a Simen Bracha Loilam. What are they? Schar Kais. The first one is reward that is given for Seifrim, and we have to wonder what's the problem. If a person is a Seifer, he's doing Melech HaShemayim, what should be wrong? The Gemara will discuss this in a moment. The Schar Meturgimen, the Schar of those, as Rashi explains, that the Talmud Chacham would give a shir usually on Shabbos, sometimes during the weekday, and this Meturgimen would put his ear next to the Talmud Chacham, and the Talmud Chacham would say it quietly, and he was like a megaphone, he was a microphone of an amplifying what the Talmud Chacham was saying to the people who were listening. So his reward is also Ein Aroy Simen Bracha, as the Gemara will soon explain why. Vischar Yisomim, and those who invest money, they are the executors of the estate of Yisomim, and they invest the money, as Rashi says, that it is for half of the amount. They take half of the profit. If someone has, as Rashi says, Mishloach Sfinois of Tamil B'makam Sakana, he sends his boats out into the oceans, and there are pirates, and there's also storms at sea. So it's a very dangerous occupation, and many times the boat can sink. So in all of these four endeavors, ein b'em siman bracha l'olam. So now the Gemara tries to explain each one. Bishlam is schar meturgmanin. I understand why the reward that is received for the person who gives over the shear on Shabbos, why is ein roi siman bracha m'shum de mechsi kischar Shabbos? Because it in fact looks like that he is taking a payment for Shabbos, which one is not allowed to do. And all the Meforshim try to understand why is it merely Mechsi Kischar Shabbos, L'charit is Schar Shabbos. He's doing a work on Shabbos, and he's getting reward for it, which one is not allowed to do. So there are a number of answers in the Meforshim. The Maram Chalva explains that we mentioned before that during the week there was also a shear, which the Meturgim would explain. But most of the time it was on Shabbos. So we have a concept that there's no isser of taking a schar for Shabbos, payment for Shabbos activity, if there's a job also done during the week, because then we have the heter of havlah, which means that we can say that what the person is getting for reward, he's really getting for the weekday. And Shabbos, he's getting nothing paid for. So the Shabbos is like muvla, it is swallowed up in what he's getting for the weekday. That's the answer of Maram Chalva. The Sfas Emes explains that during the weekday, the Meturgman used to say over the shear for the Talmidim. The Balabatim were working. On Shabbos, he would say it also for the Balabatim. Who were the ones who paid the salary of the Meturgman? That was the Balabatim who came on Shabbos. So really, it wasn't Schar Shabbos, because they were also paying for the weekday. But the Balabatim, who only came on Shabbos, and they were the ones who paid for it, for the Shabbos, to them, it gave the appearance that it was Schar Shabbos. The Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, from the Chachamim who lived in, the Bali Tosfos who lived in England, they give an answer that this whole reward of the Meturgamin and the Rav who was giving the shear wasn't such a definite reward that they could count on, because it depended if the those who listened liked the shear or not. If they didn't like the shear, nothing, the Rav had an immediate way of knowing the reaction of the Olam. If he got paid for it, then it was a good shear. If the Olam didn't like it, then they didn't get paid. So Memela, that's not considered Schar Shabbos, because you're not muftach for sure that you're going to get it. And finally, the Beis Yosef discusses about a chazan who receives schar on Shabbos for his chazonis. So what is the reason that you're allowed to do that? So Beis Yosef says, kiven shul tzarech mitzvah mutter. It's tzarech mitzvah, it hopefully enhances the davening of people, the esoiris of people, the kavana. They ask on the Beis Yosef, just because it's tzarech mitzvah, if it's an iser, what are we doing? Mitzvah bob avera? What kind of heter is this? And the Meforshim explained to Beis Yosef that really schar Shabbos is really like a gzera, because schar Shabbos is usher because of mekach u'memkar. Mekach u'memkar is usher mid-rabbon, and also because you might come to write something down. So the whole thing is really a gzera. So the Chachamim wanted people, even in this case, to be nizer from gzera, but if it was l'tzarech mitzvah, memele the Chachamim were not matriach, and they allowed it to go through. So that's why it's only here, Mechsi Kischar Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Moyes Yisraimim. We understand Moyes Yisraimim also that there's a problem, Nami, Lav B'nei Mechila Nenu. As the Rabbeinu Chananel explains, that it's very almost impossible not to, even a well-intentioned executor of the Yisraimim's estate will sometimes make unintentionally a mistake, and he'll be taking money which doesn't come to him from the Yisraimim. And since the Yisraimim are ktanim and they can't be moichel, so it comes out that he is unintentionally stealing from the Yisraimim, and they're not able to be moichel. So that's why also we understand why ain't a roya simen bracha. Mois habois v'dinu sayam. Why is that not roya simen bracha? Mishum delav kol yoyim misrachis nisha. Because a nest doesn't happen every day. Ain't soim chal a nest. Yes. And when a person sends his boats out to the oceans with the pirates and with the storms, so that's also a putting his money in a dangerous situation, and that's why he won't see a siman brach either. However, the Gemara doesn't understand Ella schar kaisen my timer. What should be wrong with a cipher? Why should he not be able to see a siman bracha from his work? I'm Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. The answer is because Chav Dalet Tani Yois Yoshu Anshik Nesek Doyla. The Anshik Nesek Doyla who sat 24 fast days, Al Koisve Svorim Tulum Mezuzos, Shaloy Yisashru. They made 24 fasts to make sure that people who wrote Sifrei Torah and Parshas for Tefillin and Parshas for Mezuzahs would not become rich. What's wrong if they become rich? Shel Molei Misasherin Ein Kaisen. Because if they would become wealthy from writing Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, so if they're doing it only for the profit motive, they're not interested in supplying the community with kosher tefillin and mezuzahs, so and Sifrei Torah, so eventually when they made enough money, they're not going to have any reason to write. I have the money. I'm not doing it l'shem shemayim. Therefore, the Anshei Knesset Gedoyla sat 24 taniyos to make sure that they would not be wealthy, and they'd have to keep on writing so that they would be able to supply the demands of the community for Sifrei Torah, mezuzahs, and tefillin. Why specifically did they fast 24 taniyos? So the Ben Yoyada says, because there's many pshatim, but his pshat is that they're chav dalet sifrei tanach, memela, they fasted. Normally there should be a schus from the 24 Sifrei Tanach that the people for Kert should be misasher. So they fasted 24 taniyos, and he says an interesting thing. They were able, through the taniyos, to turn around the chav dalet into doch. Instead of chav dalet, it was dalet chav. Dalet chav, doch is ani. They made sure that they would become aniyim. And in fact, this really fulfills what Yaakov was Mevorach Shimon, and he said, Achalkim bi Yaakov, Afitzem bi Yisrael, upon which Rashi says, Ein lecha aniyim v'soifrim, umelam de tunaikes elami Shimon. The aniyim and the soifrim, they come from Shevet Shimon. So Yaakov Avinu already saw, Beruach Kotroi, that the Anshei Knesset Gedoyla would make a takana that the seifrim should in fact be aniyim. The Tosfos over here, Divrei Maaseh Kosrei Svorim, says that this is only somebody who sells svorim on a wholesale level. He, as we're going to see in the next Gemara. So since there's so much ability to become rich, there's so many customers and demands for it, they had to make a takana, they had to be mispala and taniyos that they should not become rich. However, if someone is a cipher only private, one-on-one, where there's not such a big market as you have with the wholesalers, there ain't a chanami. Taisa says that person is not part of this takana of the Anshei Knesset Gedoyla, that he should be poor. He's able to, in fact, become rich. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Kaisrei Svorim Tefillin Mezuzahs, those who write Sifrei Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs, Hain, they, V'tagrein, V'tagrei Tagrein, and the various vendors, the wholesalers, the retailers, the distributors, the middleman, anyone who's involved in this trade, V'chol Oiskim V'melech Shemayim, whoever is busy with holy matters, Le'isuye, to include Moichrei Tcheles, those who sell Tcheles for the tzitzes, the blue dyed the strings of the tzitzis, which were blue dyed, ain't a royin siman bracha loilam. They do not see a siman bracha from their work, but the im oiskin lishma royin. But if they do it lishma, Rashi explains their purpose is liyos hamitzvah mitzuya letzrichim law. They do it with a kavana that people should have accessibility to these holy items. So if they do it lishma, then royin siman bracha. they could be Isaac in it, and they will see Simon Bracha. So it comes out from Tosis or from the Gemara, we have two exceptions to the rule that a Sofer has to be poor. One exception is if he does it Lishma, then even if he sells it on a wholesale level with many clients and capability, he could become rich. And the second exception is if he's not doing it on a wholesale level, but rather he's doing it for private, that also is not part of this Gzeira of the Anshe Knesset Gedolah. The Gemara now returns to the theme that we've had on the last stuff, and that is concerning Minhagim. And concerning Minhagim, there's very interesting things. For example, the Noida Behuda, when he took over the shul in Prague, he noticed that all the people in the shul, when it came to Shabbos Mevorach Mesachoydish, they would turn to the south. And he was wondering, why are they turning to the south? He researched it, and he found out that this minig started when there was a big placard, a sign hung with the nusach of the Shabbos Mevorachim on the southern wall, so all the people in the shul, instead of looking into the siddur, they would turn to the south. Meanwhile, the wall was standing, but the placard had been taken down. But the people still, this was the minig in Prague, to turn to the southern wall. So we always have to see what the source of a minig is, if it's a valid minig, it's not a valid minig, and that's going to be the theme of the next Amud of Gemara. B'nei Baishan, the residence of Baishan, which the Pri Chodesh says is Beit Shan, Nohog, the minig of that city was, Doloyhava Azlin Mitzur Litzaydim B'mali Shabbata. They would not take a boat trip from the city of Tzor. Baishan was a suburb of the city of Tzor. They wouldn't travel by boat from Tzor Litzaydim on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that one should not begin a trip on a boat 3 days before Shabbos because of problems that can arise. However, if it's a very short distance, like from Tzor Litzidon, you are allowed to. However, the B'nai Baishan were machmer on themselves that they would not make the short trip. And even though, as Rashi says, when was the Yom HaShuk of Tzidon? It was B'dafkan Erev Shabbos. And that would have been the day when you buy all your things that you need, all your necessities. But they were machmer because they didn't want to be mevatel from Tzor Chishabbos. They did not make this short journey by boat from Tzor to Tzidon. Asa benayu, their sons came. Kameh to Rabbi Yochanan, in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amru loy, he said to Rabbi Yochanan, Avosan, our fathers, Efshaluhu, as Rashi explains, they were rich and they had no problem with avoiding going to the marketplace on Fridays. But Anan, loy Efshalon, but we don't have that luxury. We're not so wealthy. We have to go. Are we allowed to? They wanted to be mevatel the minig that was ongoing in Baishan. Amar lehu Rabbi Yochanan responded to them, Kvar kiblu avaseichem aleihem. Your avos already accepted upon themselves that this is a minig, and therefore you have to go in the way of your avos. And here comes the famous pasuk that is always used in connection with a minig that a person has from his avos. Shenemar, Shma b'ni musar avicha. Listen to the musar, the chastisement of your father. Valtitosh, do not forsake Torah simecha. There's an inyan of Valtitosh Torah simecha. And therefore he did not allow them to stop this minig, which was a chumrah of the B'nai Baishan, from going from Tzor to Tzidon on the Erev Shabbos. So the Meforshim ask over here, the Pischei Tshuva brings down a question from the famous Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kufhei, where Mar Ukva said, Ani b'davar zeh k'choy mitzben yayin l'gabi avi. When it comes to waiting between meat and milk, I'm like vinegar to wine. My father used to wait 24 hours. If he ate fleishik, he wouldn't eat milk for another 24 hours. And I wait only between one suda and another. What one suda to another means, that's the whole question. 6 hours, 3 hours, etc. But the point is, he wasn't on the madreig of his father. He compared himself to vinegar to wine. I didn't do what my father is. The question is, what about Altit? This Gemara right here. So there's various terutzim in the Meforshim. The Pischei Tshuva himself brings the teretz that the only time one is mechuyev to keep the minig of the forefathers is only if the children themselves kept this minig. as it seems over here from the Gemara, it says Bnei Baisha Nog. That was the prevalent minhag. They were trying to be mevatel the minhag, but they themselves had gone already in their lifetime in the way of their forefathers. That Rabbi Yochanan refused to be matir. You have to go in the minhag of your fathers. However, in the case of Mar Ukva, he never went in the ways of his forefathers. Memela, he didn't have to. On this, the Night of Yehuda's Talmud, the Tshuva Miyava asks, so why does our Gemara say that Rabbi Yochanan refused it? Because Shema b'ni b'sar b'ichval titish tar simecha, he could have said stam. You yourselves have been noyig this way all these years. Memela, I can't be matrit for you. Therefore, there's other terutzim. The Chavis Yor wants to say that the only time you say this in Yival Titosh, if this has become a minig of this locale, it's not just a personal minig, you and your father, but the whole locale, as in fact we find in Yoredeya, in Simon Reisha Dalat Sif Beis, the Mechaber says that Kabbalah Sarabim Chol Aleim Valzarim, if a Rabim accepted something, it's Chal on them and on their children, Vafilu B'dvor even if the whole city didn't come together with the Rabbonim and they were maskim to accept this, if that was the minig of the town, they picked it up on their own without a official meeting of the whole tzibur, but that's still chal al zarim. But that's only, again, if it's a minig of the rabbim. In the case of Mar Ukva, it was a minig of his father. If it's a minig only of his father and not of the locale in which his father lived, then there's no chiyuv of al titish tar simecha. That's the Chavis Yor. The She'ilas David finally says that when do you say al titish? That's only if the father's beferish, when he was mekabel this thing on himself, said, not only am I mekabel on myself, but I'm also being mekabel on my children, then there's an inyan al titish. If he didn't say it, as in the case of Mar Ukva never meant it to be binding on his children as well, then you don't say al titish. I've heard that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zitzel, it's well known, he never ate turkey. He did not feel that there was a Masaira on turkey, as we discussed in the Masaira conference number one on kosher birds and animals. But he did not accept this to be binding on his children and grandchildren, although some of his children, or maybe all of his children, keep it as well. I believe Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky doesn't eat turkey as well. But in the family, on the grandchildren, that, it wasn't accepted. Had Rav Yaakov accepted it on his children and grandchildren as well, then there would be an inyan of Al Titish Tar Simecha. Continues the Gemara. B'nei Chuzoi Nagi, the B'nei Chuzoi were Nagi, the Mafreshi Chala Me'Aroiza. They used to take Chala from Aroiza. What's Aroiza? Rav says, Oiriz, that's rice, which there's no chiv. We know the chiv of chal is only on the chameshim minei dogen. Asuv amalei Rabbi Yosef. They came and told Rabbi Yosef about this. Amar lahu, he said to them, to the people who came and told him, nichla zar bapayu, in their face, let a zar eat let him eat the challah, what they were mafresh for challah, which should be given to the kohen. You should eat it right in front to show them that there's no kedushas challah on rice. Esrei Abayi had a question on this. Dvorim hamutarim v'acherim nagi boim iser. If there's a thing that's mutter, but others were noig iser and they would not partake of it, and now we continue on daf nun aleph amud aleph. Ia Torah shor latirim b'fneim. You're not allowed to write in their face in front of them be matarit. So how were they allowed to do it over here? Amar loy. So he responded to this. Rabbi Yosef responded to Abaya, "V'lav mi itmar alo amar Rabbi Chizda b'kutoy." Didn't Rabbi Chizda say that that din of iator rishol atir b'fneim was only concerning the kutim? The kutim, as is well known, was a group that became gerim, and there was always a shush whether they were true gerim or not, because some said they only became geri arayis. They were only gerim because of they had a fear that the lions would consume them, but they were not really gerim. And back and forth in the time of Chazal, they questioned whether the Kutim were Geri Yemes or not. At the end, they found that they were serving actually in Avodah Zarah. But Rav Chizda, in the time that our Gemara is taking place, the Kutim were accepted as real Jews. However, they were weak Jews. So Rav Chizda said, "Am Rav Chizda b'kutoy, that halacha that you shouldn't be matur something that was be'etzem mutter, but they were noyeg iser, is only said by kutoy." So therefore, he was answering, it doesn't apply to the B'nai Chuzoi. The B'nai Chuzoi, you should tell them that they're doing something wrong. So the Gemara says back, no, Kutoy, my time, what's the reason, in fact, why to the Kutoy you do not be matter in front of them, Mishum de Mesurchi? Milse, because there would be confusion. If you're going to tell them that you don't have to give challah on rice, they would come not to give challah even on the Chamishas Minei Dogon also. They were weak Jews. So if you don't let them practice exactly as they were doing, you start fiddling around with it, it'll come to a big takola. So if that's the reason why by the kutoyim we're not matured in front of them, hanech in shinami sarchi milsa, these people, the B'nai Chuzoi, are on the same level, and they'll get confused also, and therefore you should not be matured right in front of them. Elam Ravashi, so what? Why in fact does Rabbi Yosef say that you should be matur the challah right in front of them and eat it to show them there's no challah? Ravashi said it depends. If damage can come out of it, then you should be matur it right in front of them. And if not, then you shouldn't. It depends. Chazinit. E ruban oyriz achli. If most of the time their staple of food is rice, loy nichlas arbapai, then a stranger, a non-koyan, should not eat it in front of them. Why? Because dilma mishtakha tairis chalaminayo. Because then the greater fear is that if you're going to confuse them, and you'll tell them that you shouldn't give challah on rice, they won't come to give challah on the five grains either, and therefore don't tamper with it, leave it alone. But v'i ruban doganachli, if most of the time for carrot they don't eat rice, most of the time they eat the five types of grains where there is a chi of challah, so then the greater danger is that they shouldn't consider oiris to be real challah, because then all kinds of problems will come about, as the Gemara will now explain. Nichlazar bapar, then you should eat it right in front of them. Why? Dilma asala frushe menachiv al aptur, menaptur al achiv, as Rashi explains. First Rashi explains menaptur al achiv. If you're going to consider oiriz to be like the five grains, if they're going to have that misconception, so they will sometimes be mafresh rice for one of the chamishas minei dogan, and they'll give the and they'll eat the chamishas minei dogan, thinking that they had given challah properly when they hadn't. And what are they eating? They're eating tevel. So they'll be over an issur of eating tevel. The opposite is the first din, lafrushe minachiyev alaptur. They will take five grains, and they will be mafreshit for rice. They will give the five grains to the kohen. The kohen thinks that he's getting challah, and what's the kohen really getting? The kohen is getting tevel. Because since the challah is not chal, because it was done minachiyev alaptur, so it remains tevel. It doesn't have a din of challah. So all kinds of problems are going to come out. If that's the case, then in fact you should eat it right in front of them. And that was the case by Rabbi Yosef, that they were most of the time eating dogon, and therefore you should show them that there's no chiv challah on the iris. Gufa, we learned before, Dvorma Mutorin, Vacherim Nogim Ba'isr, if it was Mutter and others were Noig Isr, Iyat Torah Shoyla Tayyam Rafnaim, you're not allowed to be muttered right in front of them. Amr Rab Chizda, here's where Rab Chizda said his Dimbekutoy asking, we're speaking about the Kutim. Toysvis over here in the top Toysvis brings down the Gemara in Chulin, Davovim Beis, where the Gemara says that Rebbe was Matur, the city of Beit Shan, that the Gemara over there is speaking about Meiser on Yerek, which is a Chiv Midrabbanan on vegetables to give Meiser, and he considered Beit Shan was not a Chelik of Eretz Yisrael, so they were giving Meiser, and he told them, don't give Meiser, it's not a Chelik of Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, how was he allowed to do that? You're not supposed to be matrid right in front of them. And as Beit Shan would be similar to the B'nai Chuzoi here, and Rabbeinu Nissim answers in the Megillah Storm, Tosfos brings down that when do we say this din of Dvorma Matorim Vacherim Nogim Bem Isser, that you should not be matrid? That's if the people themselves know it's really mutter, but they want to be machmer on themselves. That's what it says. Dvorim Hamutorim. It's Be'atza Mutter. They want to be machmer, then don't tamper with it. But things that people make a mistake in, and they think that it's usser, and they don't know that it's really mutter, then fakaret, you should educate them, and you should explain to them that it is mutter. Tosfos also says that from our whole sugi, it comes out that in front of them, you're not allowed to be matarit. However, in front of a Talmud Chacham, not in front of the Hamoin Am, you would be allowed to be matrid. What about the issue that we had of our Mishnah? If a person goes from a Makam Shenagu to Loi Nagu, he has to take with him the chumras of his old place, the chumras of the new place. So what about that halacha? How can you be matrid in front? Even if it's in front of a Talmud Chacham, it's not in front of the Hamoin Am. You have to take with the chumra of the, you have to accept the chumra of the place that you're in. Taisa's answers that is only when it is based on a chumra which a Talmud Chacham made. But if it's based on something that the Hamoinam made, that halacha would not apply. Continues the Gemara. V'kuli al-maloi, are you telling me that you're only usher to be matrid in front of them when you're speaking about the kutim and regular people? You're matrid right in front of them. Ivotanya roichsim shnei achim kecha. Two brothers are allowed to bathe together. Ve'ein roichsim shnei achin bechavol. But two brothers are not allowed to bathe in the city of Chavol. They were machmer on themselves that two brothers should not bathe together. Umaisib Yehuda v'hil bonav shamram gamliel. There's a story with Yehuda and Hill, the sons of Rabbi Gamliel, Sharach Sushneim Keechod, Bechavol, that they, in the city of Chavol, bathed together, Veloaz Alein Kalamadina, and the whole city criticized them, Amru, and they said, Mi Ameinu Loi Reinu Kach, we never saw a Shande, such a thing happened that two brothers bathed together, even though it was a Minik Shtus. There's no Isser of two brothers bathing together. And what, how did Hillel react? Venishmat He didn't tell them it's mutter, there's no problem. What did he do? He just slipped out and went to the outside area away from his brother. And so you're telling me that for regular people, you are mutter to them something that they're doing wrong. And here's a case where Hillel didn't say anything to them. And another example, there's three examples of this. The second one is, Yoitzim Bikur Dekisun B'Shabbos. You can go out with these wide, loose-fitting sandals on Shabbos. Ve'en Yoitzim Bikur Dekisun B'Shabbos B'Biri. But in the city of Biri, they were noyeg a chumra not to go out with them. Umay said is a story by Yehuda Vehil, born of Sharam Gamliel, these same two people, Yehuda and Hill, the sons of Ram Gamliel, Sheyotsu Bekurdikisi and Bishabas Babiri, they did go out, Velozal and Medina, and the whole Medina was criticizing them, Va'amru, and they said, Oy vein, Yamein Larinu Kach, we never saw such a terrible thing. They're over on that din of going out, even though it was Bamas Mutter. What did they do when they were criticized? Vishumtum, they took off these shoes, Vinustum La. They gave it to their avodim, and they did not walk in them. They did not tell them it's mutter. Bifneyem. It's not Kutoim. Why didn't they tell them? It's Mutter. Third case. The Yoishin al Safsali Nachum Shabbos. You're allowed to sit on the benches of Nachum and Shabbos. The Ainan Yoishin al Safsali Nachum Shabbos Ba'aku. But in Aku, they did not sit on these chairs. What the reason for all these chumras, we're going to see in the Gemara in a few minutes. In Aku, they were makabel not to sit on these chairs of the Goyim. Umaisa Rab Shimon Gamliel, Shiyashiv al Safsali Nachum Shabbos. That Rab Shimon Gamliel sat on the benches of the Nachum B'Shabbos Ba'aku. The laws all of Kol Medina and the whole Medina criticized them. Amru, they said, we never saw such a terrible thing. What was his reaction? Nishmat, he slipped off the chair. Al Gabi Karka, he went down to the ground. And he did not say in their face that this is Mutter. So what's the Pshat? It's only by Kutorm, we don't do that. And for the Gemara, B'nai Medina Sayyam. This was in the Medina Sayyam, in a far off Medina. Nami also, Kivin Loshikha Rabbanah Gabayah, the Rabbanah usually are not there. Kikusim Damu, they have the same halacha as Kusim, and that you're not allowed to do it in front of them. Now the Gemara wants to know, what is the rationale of the Chumra to begin with? Bishlam Asafsoi Nachurim, I understand. Mishum de Mechsi Kemeku Memkar. Those were chairs that the Goyim used when they did business. So it looks like you're sitting down to do business, so they had a Chumra. Bikur de Kusim Nami, with the sandals, the white sandals, also I understand, Dilma Mishtalfin, maybe it'll fall off, also, as you knew, Arba Amis Rishisarab, they'll come to carry it for Amis Rishisarab. I understand that also. Al Reichz in my time, Aloy, but why can't two brothers bathe themselves together. The Gemara answers, could have sounded like we learned in a brisa. Im kol adam roichetz. A person can bathe with anyone, chutz me ov v'chomov. He's not allowed to bathe with his father or with his father-in-law. And Rashi explains, he shouldn't bathe with his father. And as the halacha, this whole halacha is speaking about when everyone is not wearing any clothing. So then he will have a impure thought, a hearer. He'll see his father and he'll say, as Rashi says, shemisham yatza, that's where I come from. Or from his father-in-law, he'll say, that's where my wife comes from. It's not a proper thought to have, and therefore he should not bathe with his father or his father-in-law. Or even Baal Imoy, his mother's husband. Also not respect to his mother, to her husband. Ubala Choysoy, or his brother-in-law. He'll have bad thoughts. He's with my sister. Improper thoughts. He shouldn't bathe with him. Rabbi Yehuda Matur Ba'aviv, Nekfayt Aviv. As Rashi explains, since he has to be Meshamish, his father, so with his father, he is allowed to bathe together. Vuhu Adin Labal Imo, he's also allowed to bathe with his mother's husband. Va'asa Inu, and the B'nai Chavol came, the Gozer, and they made a Gzeir, B'shnei Achen, two brothers should not bathe together. Why? Mishum Balachoysoi, because since by Balachoysoi we don't want them to bathe together, so too by the brother-in-law, so too by two brothers. So this was the reason for their Chumrah, and since they were Medina Sayyam, they were not Maturit in Lefneim because we're worried that if we're matur that, there'll be matur other things. Tana, we learned, Talmud lo yirchatzim rabbi, a Talmud of respect for his rabbi, should not bathe together with his rabbi. Vim rabbi tzarech loy, but if his rabbi needs him, mutter, it is mutter. So the Ramah tells us in Simen Reish Mem Beis, that achshav, that we go to a Beis Amerchatz with swimming trunks, so there won't be any herhurim royim, and therefore one is allowed to go to the Merchatz with all these people. L'chayru would come out that to a mikveh, where one doesn't go with swimming trunks, one should not do it unless, like the Gemara said, if the father needs him or the father-in-law needs him, the Rebbe needs him, then again it would be permitted. Continues the Gemara, Ki also Rabbi Barachana, when Rabbi Barachana came from Bavel to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, Ochel Daisra, he ate a certain fat. As Rashi explains, there on the stomach of the animal, there is a curved area and then a straight area. The fat, the chelav that's on the curved area, according to everybody, is usur. But the chelav, the fat that is on the straight part, it's like a bow, which has a curved part and a straight part. The fat that's on the straight part, that in Eretz Yisrael, they ate it, and in Bavel they did not eat it. So when Rabbi Barachana came from Bavel, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he ate it. Ol gabe Rabbi Avira Saba, the old Rabbi Avira came, the Rabbi Bered Rav Huna, they came up to visit him. The Talmud Chacham's coming, they went to Mekabel Ponimim. Kiven the Chazinu, when he saw them coming, Chasya Minayu, he covered up the fat that he was eating, which they considered chaylev, and he didn't. Also Ram Le Labaya, they told over the story to Abaya. Omar Lahu, Abaya said to them, Shavinchu Kikusoi, you know, this is not a big compliment for you. He's considering you like Kutim. And Kutim, you're not allowed, like we learned before, be Matur and Isser, that they were Noeg right in front of them. Now, the Gemara has the question, V'Rabba Baruch Hanna, Les Lei Hodisnan, doesn't he hold of our Mishnah? Nois, no love, Chumriya Malkam Shiyatsu Misham, Chumriya Malkam Shahalach L'Sham. So since he was coming from Eretz Yisrael, which was Mekel, to Bavel, that was Machmer, he should have accepted upon himself the Chumriya of Bavel. How could he have eaten it even when they were not around? He only covered it up when they came. How could he eat it when they're not around? Am Rabbi, Hani, Mili, Mi Bavel, Bavel. When do we say our Mishnah? That's when a person is going from one place in Bavel to the other. Umi Eretz Yisrael, or from one place in Eretz Yisrael to another place in Eretz Yisrael. E nami or mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, or from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Avol mi Eretz Yisrael Bavel loy. But there's no problem in keeping your minig if you're coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Why? Kiven dan nan kaifin lehu. Since we have to bow down. The Bnei Bavel are subordinate to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. As Rashi says, because in Eretz Yisrael they have smicha, and in Bavel they don't have smicha. And as the Tosfos also brings down, in Eretz Yisrael they teach Torah Barabim. And in Eretz Yisrael you have Avira da'ara machkim. The air of Eretz Yisrael makes people smart. You have all of these reasons. So the Bnei Yisrael are on top of the Bnei Bavel. So the whole reason why a person should accept the minig of the place that he's going to, as Rashi says, is mivnei hamachlokes. Because you come into a place and you don't keep their minig, they get breiges, they get angry. You are not accepting my minig. So there's a machlokes. However, if somebody comes from Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't accept Bavel, Bavel doesn't get upset because Bavel is subordinate to Eretz Yisrael. Frag Tosfos Akasha here in Sanhedrin, Daf Hey, I, the Gemara over there says that Bavel is greater than Eretz Yisrael because La Yasser Shevet Miyehuda Umechaykim Mibain Raglav Adki Avishila. The Gemara says Shevet, this refers to the Reish Galusa in Bavel, and Mechaykik, the lawgiver, refers to the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, and Shevet, the stick, meant that the B'nai Bavel had a greater power in jurisdiction than Eretz Yisrael. So how does the Gemara say here that the B'nai Bavel are kuf of the B'nai Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara over there says for Keret and for Tosfos that when are the B'nai Bavel greater than the B'nai Eretz Yisrael? That's by Dinei Mamonis. There, the Reish Galusa had a stronger power of enforcing money matters. Masha'en came legabe Isser v'heter v'ibalt the B'nai Eretz Yisrael had smicha, and the B'nai Bavel didn't. With the other milas that we said about Eretz Yisrael, in Isser v'heter, the B'nai Bavel are the opposite. They're kuf of two, the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So that's the first teretz of how he was allowed to eat it, because he was coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they are subordinate. There's a second teretz. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tamei Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Even from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, we can also say that one should be noeg the minig of the place that you're going to. But Hani Mili Hechadein Dai to Lachzer. That's only if you don't want to go back to where you're coming from to Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Chana Dai to Lachzer. He wanted to go back, and if he wanted to go back, he doesn't have to accept the minig of the makom that he's going to. Taisa says a little shver because the Mishnah says you have to accept the minig of the makom you went from and the minig you're going to. According to our Gemara, it comes out that whole din of the Mishnah is divided in half. If you're going to a new place and you want to stay there, then you have to accept the minig of the place that you're going to. But if you're going to a new place and you want to return to your old place, then you keep the minig of the place that you are coming from. And from the Mishnah's mashma, you keep both chumras at the same time. So Tai says it's a little difficult to fit it into the words of the Mishnah. Amalei Rabbi Barchana Labanov, Rabbi Barchana said to his sons, Beni, my children, Loi Soichel, don't eat this fat, which in Bavel they were machmeron, Loi Befonai, not in front of me, Veloi Shaloi Befonai, not in front of me. Anisha raises Rabbi Yochanan. I saw Rabbi Yochanan she'achal. Since I saw him eat this fat, kedai who Rabbi Yochanan lismichal of. Rabbi Yochanan was from Eretz Yisrael. I in Eretz Yisrael saw him actually eating it. So Rabbi Yochanan is kedai to be soimichan of befonav shalai befonav. So therefore, I, even though I'm not in Eretz Yisrael now, I'm in Bavel. I can eat it wherever I am. But ato, but you, my son, loy reisoi soi. You never saw that Rabbi Yochanan eating it. Loy soichal ben befonai ben shalai befonai. You're not allowed to eat it whether it's in front of me or not in front of me. Upliga didaya didaya. The Gemara says that we find in another instance where Rabbi Barbarchana himself did not paskin what he just said to his son. The Amr Rabbi Barbarchana said, Sachli Rabbi Yechim Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yechim Rabbi Lazar told me the following story. Pam achas nechnasni achter Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya Legina. I followed him into a garden, and now we turn to Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. V'natal svichei kruv, and he took the aftergrowth of cabbage va'achal, and as we're going to see in the Gemara in a few lines, that there is a big machlokus whether you can take, as Rashi says, that the case is speaking about in Shvius la'achar zman habir, after the time when you have to be mevar. The pasuk says ulbehem tocholachay sher baratzecha tia kol tvoas alechol, and we learn out that when are you allowed to have in your house for your behema food of Shvius? That's only if the chaya has it in the field. But if the chaya stopped eating it, then you cannot have it in for your behem either. You have to do beer. What does beer mean? Is a machloik? Is the Rambam and other Rishonim? The Rambam says you have to burn it. The other Rishonim, Tosfos, the Ramban and the Rash says you have to be mafker it, and you yourself can be kind of back from a hefker. But so Rashi says this sugya you're speaking about after this mana beer, and he ate this aftergrowth, which is a machloikis. Va'achol v'nasan li, and he gave it to me. Va'amali, and he said to me, Bani, my son, b'fonai achol, eat it in front of me. Shalai b'fonai loisak, but don't eat it not in front of me. Ani shariz hish Reb Shimon Yochai she'achol. I saw Reb Shimon Yochai eat the aftergrowth of cabbage. Kedai hu Reb Shimon Yochai Shabbos Mechalav b'fanav v'shalav b'fanav. You could be Simech on him, whether it's in front of him or not in front of him. Ata you b'fanav achal, in front of me eat, shalav b'fanav l'ysach, but not in front of me, don't eat. So Rashi says that this is a steer to what he said just before. Because before he said that what? That you shouldn't eat it if you didn't see Rabbi Yochanan, both not in front of me or in front of me. And here he says, just not in front of me, don't eat, but in front of me, you are allowed to eat. Tosfos asks Akasha that in the Yerushalmi we find that Rabbi Shimon saw a certain person who was collecting Svichei Kruv and Shvius, and he said to Maihai, what are you doing? And he said back to him, V'lav atu desharis, you were the one who were matrid. What are you complaining what I'm doing, that I'm eating Svichei Kruv? What's the problem? So he says, wait a second, and v'lav chaveroi pligi olai. My chaverim argue on me. He said on him, poiretz geder yishachenu nachish, that if somebody goes against what the Chacham says, a snake should bite him. And so, Tosfos says, the Yerushalmi says it happened. A snake bit him. Frank Tosfos, what's going on here? He himself over here ate it. And he even told his son that he's allowed to eat it. And so what's he complaining that this person ate it? If he himself, and he let his son eat it, Tosfos says that was a private thing for himself because he was mechulik with the Chachamim. But he defended the honor of his Chaverim. If my halacha was not accepted by my Chaverim, then what you're doing, you're supposed to follow my Chaverim, because the halacha right now, till I convince them differently, is going to go like my Chaverim. So I protest that you are going against my chaverim. I personally, or for my son, that's my own personal matter because I disagree with the Chachamim. But for you to do it is wrong, and therefore the snake bit him. We're finished in 1 minute. The Gemara wants to know what is this whole discussion about Svichei Kruv. My Rab Shimon, the sign we learned in the Brisa, Rab Shimon Omer, Kol HaSvichim Asurim Chutz MiSvichei Kruv. All Svichim are Asur, as Rashi learns, after the Zman Abir, except for the Svichei Kruv. Why? What's the difference Svichei of cabbage? She'en Kiyotz Bem Kiyer Kasada. There's no other vegetable like them. So Rashi has two pshatim. The second pshat of Rashi is near Be'enai, that the reason is Kruv Einai Kol L'chaya Kol Yumai Scharv. The whole winter, there's no lack of cabbage for the chayas. As Tosfos explains Rashi, Lefi She'ein HaShoresh Kol HaBoretz. Why is there always a problem that the chayas have nothing to eat? Because the root disintegrates. It's not there anymore for the chaya. But by cabbage, it lasts a whole year. There's never a point where it's Kol HaLachaya. If it's not Kol HaLachaya, then there's no beer, there's no din beer that you have to get rid of it out of your house for the behema. That is Rashi's pshat over here. The Sani Reb Shimon, I recall Svich Masurim Chutz Misvich Kruv. She'en Ki Yitz Mem B'Yerk Sod. V'chamim Oyrim Kol HaSvich Masurim. All the Svichim are Osir after the Zman HaBir, even from cabbage. V'tarvayu Alibid Rebbe Kiva. They're arguing in what Rebbe Kiva said. The Sani we learned in the Brisa. It says in the Pasuk, V'chi Soimru, you'll say, Man Nechel B'Shan HaShviyas, what are we going to eat during the Shemitah? And now the Pasuk continues in the Gemara. Hein Loi Nizra V'Loi Nesav T'Vesenu. We didn't plant. We didn't gather our tefua. So Rebbe Kiva has a big kasha. I'm Rebbe Kiva. What do you have to say? We didn't plant and we didn't harvest. Of course, if you didn't plant, you didn't harvest. So what do you have to speak that out? Why does the Torah have to speak it out? Mikan l'svichin shein asurin. There's a type of harvest that is not dependent on zriya. That's the one, the aftergrowth that grows by itself. The seeds fall off the plants that were planted. So you didn't plant these aftergrowth, and yet not only can't you eat from what was planted, you can't even eat from the aftergrowth. So from here, Rabbi Kiva learned out, aftergrowth of all plants is usher. What is the machlokes Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim Kamifli Rabban and Savri Gazrin Svichei Kruv Atushar Svichei Alma? That Svichei Kruv are usher because of other Svichim. Rabbi Shimon Savri Loi Gazrin and Svichei Kruv Atu Svichei Alma. We don't make a gzera of cabbage that people will get mixed up. If you allow the aftergrowth of cabbage, then you'll also allow other aftergrowth. So Rabbi Shimon says, all the other aftergrowth, the svichim are usher, svich ekruv, which last the whole year, are mutter, and we're not goyzer one because of the other. The rabbanon are goyzer svich ekruv because of the other svichim. Tosfos has a lot of kashas on the way Rashi learns, and Tosfos learns the whole sugya is speaking about koidim zman habir, not like Rashi, the top Rashi, and on the top line here, b'shvius la'achar zman habir. Tosfos, in fact, says it's koidim zman habir, has a whole different pshat in the Gemara. Time does not permit us to get into it. Ayin shum.